So with that, let's move forward and let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Mark chapter 7. And I am going to read the first 8 verses of that chapter. Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 8. If you don't have your Bible with you, we have Bibles in the pews. You are more than welcome to follow along. Actually, I encourage that. This is a story about Jesus and talking about the traditions of men. So Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 8. If you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen. 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 Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning through these first 8 verses. And God's word says this. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. Verse 5. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." Let's pray. Father, on this Resurrection Sunday, we do want to give glory to you and to Jesus for rising from the grave. And Father, somehow I'm going to connect the dots between what's written here about human tradition and about the greatest event that ever happened in human redemptive history, the resurrection of your son, Jesus. So, Father, may there be truths revealed, certainly from your scriptures, that we can all learn from, that we will learn a little bit more about the death of Jesus, a lot more about the resurrection of Jesus, and how these are interact with the traditions of the elders. We give you praise, and we ask all this in the name of Jesus. And you may be seated here this morning. I have titled today's message, Deadly Traditions. Probably not one that you would suspect a title of on Resurrection Sunday. But as I promised last week, I am going to tie in those 8 verses right there with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. On this Resurrection Sunday, today, the day we celebrate, I want to talk about one word that we see in today's reading, and that word is tradition. And the definition for the word tradition you can find on the inside of your bulletin here on the top right-hand corner, and I'll read that to you. Webster defines the word tradition as this: an inherited, established, or customary pattern of thought, action, or behavior. Everybody in here, we all live our lives in some way, shape, or form according to some tradition of some sort. At Christmas time, we know what those traditions are. We buy gifts, we buy presents, we wrap them up, and then we place them at the foot of the Christmas tree to give to somebody else. On Thanksgiving Day, it's customary that we here in America, we eat turkey and dressing and too much other things. And then afterwards, we take a nice long nap because of the tryptophan found in the turkey. But it is a tradition. And on the 4th of July, we set off fireworks and we have parades. Those are just some of the many, many, many different traditions that we have here in the United States. And perhaps we have traditions within our families too. And I'm just going to give you a personal one that Gail and I have. And that is on our anniversary every year, which is July the 24th, and on her birthday, December the 30th, we go out to eat at Masaki restaurant, the Japanese restaurant in Stanton. That's kind of a way that we celebrate those two events. And that has been a tradition in our lives for many, many years. So we have these traditions. And traditions can certainly be good. And they can be fun. And they can certainly be events that we all look forward to. However, traditions can also be deadly. And that is what I want to talk about here today. Today on this Resurrection Sunday, I want to bring life to a potentially deadly tradition. Let me say that again. Today I want to bring life to a potentially deadly tradition. Let's look at the words of Jesus from today's scripture text. And let's see what Jesus has to say about these particular traditions that the Pharisees were following. Well, we see that the Pharisees are looking and obeying something called the tradition of the elders, or some Bibles might say the traditions of men. And Jesus, and they do get particular what they are about ceremonial hand washing and things like that. But let's look at this general thing. What were the traditions of men? I'm glad you asked, because I have the definition right up here. The tradition of the elders were and are, in some particular cases, extra biblical laws and or incorrect interpretations of Scripture that usurped Scripture as the highest religious authority in Judaism. And what Jesus is saying here in verse number 8 in our scripture text, that you cannot do that. Oh, you can have traditions. Jesus has nothing. There's nothing wrong with traditions. But Jesus is saying this. You can never, ever, ever place tradition over the word of God. Tradition has no authority, and tradition has no power over the word of God. And it has the potential, key word, potential for being deadly when tradition usurps the word of God. And today I want to just show you how deadly following tradition was for the Pharisees. In your bulletin, if you want to, we have fill in the blanks, and we always fill them in every Sunday morning. If you want to do that, that would be fine. Here's our first one. It says this: the Pharisees were far more concerned about their traditions than what they were the word of God. They were more concerned about their traditions. They made a poor choice. They chose poorly. We see their concern for tradition in this entire passage, all 8 of these verses. If they were truly teachers of the Mosaic law, like they were supposed to be, they would never, ever, ever usurp tradition over that Mosaic law. They should know that only Scripture has authority. Now, I'm going to give you an example of something from my past. As most of you know, I grew up in the Catholic Church, and one of the things that you had to do as a Catholic, at least for me, in growing up, was you could not eat meat when? On Fridays. You can't eat meat on Fridays. According to the Catholic tradition, if you ate meat on Friday, that would be a sin, and that would not be good. Well, there's nothing in the Bible that condemns eating any kind of food on any certain day. So that was a tradition of that particular church. So there were traditions, and there might be traditions that churches impose on people today, and I'll get into that here in a little bit. So that was our first fill in the blank. Let's look at the second one, and this gets a little more into the people themselves. The poor choice of the tradition, since they chose tradition over Scripture, Jesus accuses them of being hypocrites. There's one thing you don't want to do. You don't want Jesus calling any of us hypocrites. And Jesus quotes Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. And essentially, that passage from Isaiah says this. And he gives it word for word here in our scripture text. But let me kind of paraphrase Isaiah 29, 13. They give lip service, but they do not give heart service. And because their heart is not in it, all their worship is for naught. All lip service, no heart service. So what they believe that they are truly doing for God, they are not doing for God. Why? Because they have placed tradition over Scripture. And when you place tradition over Scripture, that is never, ever, ever pleasing to God. So we're going to get to our third one here in a second. So when you place tradition over Scripture and you rightfully become a hypocrite in the eyes of God, what is the end result of that? And here's where it gets dangerous and deadly. And for this, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 15, because Matthew 15 is what they call a parallel passage, the same story, just with more information. And in that passage, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 14, Jesus says, "Let them alone." He calls them blind guides. But here's the dangerous part. Verse 14. Jesus goes on and says this about these people who place tradition over Scripture, who are called hypocrites by Jesus. "When the blind lead the blind, they both fall into a pit." And tradition is not a righteous path. You cannot lead anybody down a path of righteousness unless you know that path of righteousness yourself. So, we've talked about all this stuff about tradition. Well, what does any of this that I've put up here, what does any of this have to do with Easter Sunday and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? It has everything to do with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's look at what is happening in the world today, and then we will look at the good news. Today, I hope you all understand this. Today, churches with all kinds of denomination and religious names over the front door are just like these Pharisees, and they are following the deadly traditions of men and of the elders over the Word of God. I am convinced that God has placed me in pastoral ministry and evangelistic ministry because I, Mike, was once a victim of tradition for many, many, many years. You see, for the first 33 out of the first 40 years of my life, I attended church every Sunday, very religiously, very ritualistic, never questioning, always attending, because it was tradition, and tradition said that I had to go. And it appears that my incentive to go to church very much fits in the definition of the word tradition. Again, the definition: an inherited, established, or customary pattern of thought, action, or behavior. Was it inherited for me? Oh, yes, it was inherited. Was it established? Oh, you better believe it was established. And was it customary? Yes, it was certainly customary. And yes, it was a pattern of behavior, because it, for me, it was tradition and only tradition. And tradition had me showing up at church every Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And if I sat in churches, if someone like them could sit in church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, strictly out of tradition, then I guarantee there are others, countless others, who are showing up at church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and they are doing the exact same thing that I did for 33 out of the first 40 years of my life. I, my friends, was blind. And others like me are blind too. And if we continue in this tradition, if I would have continued in that tradition, Jesus says this: they're all going to fall into a pit. And that, my friends, is a pit of eternal destruction. So the question must be this, and I'll use the passage from Isaiah. for all of us, and including me, when it comes to worshiping God, are we giving lip service or are we giving heart service? Do we attend church on Easter Sunday or any other Sunday for that matter because it is tradition to do so, or because our hearts want to praise God? Because I assure you, lip service is deadly, and heart service brings life. Story time with Pastor Mike. When I was growing up, I've already told you, I religiously attended a Catholic church. The people that lived next door to us, the Kelsicks, Mr. and Mrs. Kelsick, two children, they were a Catholic family. But the only people who went to church were Mrs. Kelsick and the two children. Mr. Kelsick never attended church. Well, the year was 1963, and it was Easter Sunday morning. So there was the Owen family, our family. We go to church, and we're sitting in the pew where we always sit. And lo and behold, who shows up but the Kelsick family? And Mr. Kelsick, he was with the family. He came into church on that Easter Sunday morning, and I remember turning around, and he had on a really nice black suit coat, white shirt, tie. He looked great. And I remember thinking, yes, yes, Mr. Kelsick is coming to church. But I still remember this. As we were leaving church that day, we were going out the side door, and all the people were leaving, and Mr. Kelsick and his family were in front of us. And I still remember Mr. Kelsick turning around, and he looked at all of us, and Mr. Kelsick had this big smile on his face, and he said this, "Well, that will hold me for another year." But here's the reality. Here's the truth. I wasn't any different than Mr. Kelsick. The only difference between me and him, he went to church once a year out of tradition. I went to church every Sunday out of tradition. There was no heart service out of Mike. It was just lip service. So, what happened to me? What happened to me? A transformation occurred in my life one day back in April. I think it was April of 1994. You see, up until that day, my lips, and my lips only, were into worshiping God. But my heart was never there. And it was on that day that I realized that all of my efforts, that all of my good works, and all of my church attendance, whatever that may have been, and all of my religious traditions amounted to absolutely nothing. It was on that day that I understood that God did not want my works, and he did not want my traditions. It was on that day that I realized that God wanted my heart. He didn't want this. He wanted this. And it was on that day, one day back in April of 94, that I gave it to him. So today, instead of listening and following tradition, what does the Word of God, the only authority, say about our heart condition? Because that's the only thing that matters. First, 1 Samuel 16:7, an Old Testament passage. It says this, "God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at what? The heart. The Lord looks at the heart. He's not looking at my lip service. He's not looking at my good works. He's not looking at my Easter Sunday attendance or attendance any other Sunday. He's not looking at how much money I give in the collection basket. He's looking at one thing. Mike, what is in your heart?" Because that's the only thing that he looks at. Looks at for me and looks at for you. Romans 10,
verses 9 through 13. It's a long passage, but I'm going to read that to you, and I have certain words underlined, because this is important in the salvation of the believer. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus as Lord, important, and you believe in your, there's that word again, heart, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And now Paul gives an explanation of how that works. And he says this, for with the heart a person believes and understands what Jesus and who Jesus is, resulting in righteousness. And then once he has that belief or she has that belief, with the mouth he or she confesses, resulting in the salvation of that person. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. And then the most wonderful, one of the most wonderful statements in the Bible, for all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And we don't call upon the name of the Lord just strictly with our lips. We also call upon the name of the Lord with what? With our hearts also. It's just not a lip condition. It's a heart condition also. And praise the Lord, 25 years ago, almost 25 years ago, was the day that I realized that. I saw that. And I quit giving lip service and I start giving heart service. And that was the day that I got saved. And that was the day that I realized that I had the assurance of my salvation. And that was the day that I realized that everything that Jesus did for me, he did for me, and not anything that I could ever, 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 ever do for myself. So, for all of you, I am so glad that you are here in this sanctuary here today. But we all need to be honest with ourselves, including myself. We all need to ask ourselves these two questions. One, why are we here today? And then two, the follow-up question, are we here out of tradition or are we here out of worship? Folks, one of those is deadly, and the other brings life. The death of Jesus Christ was for the forgiveness of sins for all who believe. And the resurrection of Jesus, here's where these dots get connected, was to conquer a spiritual death that we all deserve. I hope we all realize we all deserve death. We all have the human condition. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What are we going to do about that? And there is nothing we can ever do for ourselves. Why? Because Jesus has done it all. When he was hanging on that cross, he said, it is what? Finished. It is finished. There's nothing else more we can do. And then he rose from the grave 3 days later. Because he defeated death, we can defeat death also. Death no longer has any power over those who have called upon the name of the Lord. I read it earlier. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The Bible says this, the sting of death is sin and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. If there's ever a reason we need to give God the glory, it's because it's Resurrection Sunday. But I must ask, is your heart there? Because God knows the difference between what's on the outside and what's going on the inside. So I conclude by saying this. My friends, don't be like Mr. Kelsick. And don't be like the old Mike, who only showed up for church out of tradition. Don't follow deadly and damning traditions. Follow with your heart the one who has come to bring life through his resurrection from the grave. And who is that person? His name is Jesus Christ. And the Bible guarantees us all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer.